Amen. How many are glad to be here tonight? Amen. I am too. Very thankful. I was thinking today as we were coming, we drove, and as I get older, I want to be in planes less. I'm telling you, with all this TSA and everything, so if I have any control over it, I'm staying on the ground. Amen. I'm not afraid of the flying part. I'm just afraid of everything else but the flying, getting to the airport and getting through TSA and all that. So we drove, and it was awesome, and I was thinking, man, I've been coming to this church for over 20 years. It's been a long time. We've known each other for a long time. You guys have seen me grow up, amen, and get old, amen. My wife hasn't gotten old at all. She still looks the same. I'm blessed to have a good wife that looks beautiful and stays by my side, and I'm super excited about this next 48 hours together, amen. And like Pastor said, let's take the time. I see new faces that I didn't see last time. Amen. Is that you? Is that Jaden? Jaden. Hello, Jaden. Let's let Jaden and her husband know we're glad they're here tonight. Her husband's like, how do you know who we are? We got some coffee today at Ziggy, and she gave us our coffee. And they just moved here, so you're in a good place. Just look back and make sure you make them welcome. They came from the coffee shop today. She's from Texas and went to Baylor. And we just got to talk a little bit, so we hope you feel God's presence tonight. Amen. I'm glad you made it. And you know, it's interesting that she's here and she came and we invited her. We're always inviting people. But I want you to write this down. If you take notes, if you don't, then write it up here. But I want you to write down the word kairos. If you know what that is, a kairos moment. And I'm going to get back to that in a minute. But the title tonight is The Miraculous Wonders of Our God. You have this up here where it says signs, wonders, and miracles. How many believe that God is still a miracle-working God, that there's nothing impossible for him? If you've ever been healed in this place, I want you to raise your hand. Just lift your hand if you've ever been healed. Ever seen God do a miracle, something unexplainable, supernatural, that only God can do? Amen. So we're in a good place with a good God. And as I get older, you know, Pastor mentioned, my mom went to be with the Lord this last year about 13 months ago. It's been a difficult year, obviously, but also at the same time amazing to be able to spend so much time with my dad and to be, you know, he's my assistant pastor, has been my assistant pastor for, as well as Pastor Mario, but he's been my assistant pastor for about 15, 17 years, somewhere in there. But for a lot of those years, he was not able to be in the church with me because of taking care of my mom. But, you know, I'm standing here tonight, and I'm going to get into that a little bit tonight. Some of you know my testimony. Some of you know how God worked in my life, but I want to share some things with you tonight and show you the power of God's wonder and how he'll work. And I believe tonight, this weekend, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, at some point, a kairos moment is going to happen. And that happened to me many years ago. And I want to kind of just bring that into to understanding tonight how God works. But my goal this weekend, and I've been thinking about this on the way here, my goal is to by the time we end on Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning, not afternoon, okay? It won't be 5 o'clock in the afternoon we end, that you'll be in love, more in love with Jesus than you are right now, that you'll be more amazed about who Jesus is, that you'll be more in awe of who Jesus is, amen? How many would make that your goal? You can't be here and say, I'm already as in love as I can get. How many know you can be more in love with Jesus? I can tell you today, this October will be 34 years that I've been saved and preaching the gospel. And those 34 years, I can say this honestly tonight, that I love Jesus more tonight than I've ever loved him in my life. I'm more in love with him. How many know that should be the goal? That we're more in love with the Lord. And I'm more in awe of the Lord. And listen, this has been absolutely without a doubt, the hardest year of my life and my wife's. And that's not even including my mother. Many, 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 many battles, many, many trials, but I'm still more in love with Jesus tonight than I've ever been in my life. When you're in trouble, when you're in trial, when you're in struggle, you find out how real God is. And you either fall more in love with him or you blame him and you run from him. And we've chosen to fall more in love with him, amen, and chase him tonight. So the miraculous wonder of our God is the message. And if you're taking notes, Psalm 75:1 is a verse that I want to read. How many have your Bibles? You got your Bibles, lift them up. We've been really challenging our church to bring your Bibles. You know, phones are great, technology's wonderful, but that we need to learn to navigate our Bibles, amen? So bring your Bibles this weekend, and I'll try to give you a chance to find it. But this is what the Bible says. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. And what I was thinking about with this is in the New Living Translation, it says, and it's speaking, and you're supposed to go to Costa Rica too. And I said, the first Christianese words out of my mouth. Guess what I said? Anybody know? I'll pray about it. I was saved long enough to know Christianese. Guess how much I was going to pray about it? That much. Maybe less than zero. Did not want to learn Spanish. I grew up in Tucson where everybody spoke Spanish. And I didn't understand it. And I didn't want to leave the country. I'd never left the country. All of a sudden, I'll go anywhere, God, changed. We all went to Furs, that Holy Ghost anointed restaurant. And by the time I got to that restaurant, the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to go. That was a Kairos moment. My aunt and uncle wrote out a $4,000 check for me to be able to learn Spanish, live there for 4 months, pay my plane, play everything. $4,000 32 years ago is a lot of money. They wrote out a check for it. That money today is still making money. She says it's the best investment she's ever done. And so that happened. I got on a plane a few weeks later, and another Kairos moment happened. I went into a service, learning Spanish. Wasn't sanctified yet. How many know when you get saved, you got to get sanctified? I hadn't been discipled. What we're going to do tomorrow morning, which is my passion now, I hadn't been discipled yet. I didn't know what it was to be a Christian. All I knew is that Jesus had changed my life. But I was there, and one of the things my precious mama told me not to do. Remember, moms, you got to do reverse psychology on your kids. One of the things my mom told me not to do, she says, don't go down there and get married and fall in love. That's what she told me. And I really didn't have any intentions of that. But I had another Kairos moment on a Sunday morning. I woke up and two missionary friends asked me to go to church with them. And so I went past that. Assemblies of God, everybody familiar with the Assemblies of God? That was the denomination I was a part of. I went past five Assemblies of God churches to get to this one that Jimmy Swaggart started. That had 2,000 people in it. And I'm sitting there with my suit on. I've always liked to wear suits. I was 19 years old wearing a suit. And my wife says I stuck out like a sore thumb because nobody else wore suits except the pastor. And me and my two gringo friends were wearing suits. And we were tall and white in Costa Rica. And so they didn't have any words. Thank God for the words, for songs. I'm trying to learn Spanish and they're singing. I couldn't understand anything they were saying. So instead of worshiping, I looked around. And I had another Kairos moment. And I saw this young lady across the church. And it was my wife today. And that night, we met. And the rest is history. Amen. Another Kairos moment. And we got married 7 months later. I got engaged 3 months later. And then that's 32 years now we've been married. Praise God. She's been staying by my side. How many know that's a miracle in itself? Amen. And then we had another Kairos moment. I'm telling you, many Kairos moments when we were down in Costa Rica and we were doing the ministry with kids and serving God, and I met Pastor Jones' son, Dustin, on a basketball court. That's the reason I'm part of this fellowship tonight. I could go on and on and on of all the moments that God was orchestrating my life. When you give your life to the Lord, listen, he doesn't just want to use you. He wants to do miraculous and amazing things in your life. He wants his glory to be known. He has people for you to reach. I need you to understand that tonight, amen. He wants to do so much more in you and through you than you believe. Can you tell the person next to you, please listen to what he's telling you? Please, come on, tell him. Tell that person next to you, please listen to what he's telling you. Amen. Tell that person next to you, he's talking to you. Amen. I'm talking to you. Amen. God wants to use you. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 15, if you would. How many are still here? Romans chapter 15. Give me an amen when you get there. What a privilege to serve the Lord. What a privilege to preach the gospel. I wake up every day and say, God, I'm part of the greatest enterprise in the entire world, the kingdom of God. Amen? Romans chapter 15, verse 18. Paul says, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. Watch this. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Lycurium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I made it my aim to preach the gospel. Watch this. Not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. Stop thinking tonight that everybody in Cortez has heard the gospel. Just because they've heard the word does not mean they've heard the gospel. Just because they've heard the name of Jesus does not mean they've met Jesus. How many know we need to have an experience and an encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Amen? God wants to change your life. If you have met Jesus and he has not changed your life, you have just met a theory of who Jesus is. You have not truly met Jesus if Jesus has not changed your life. Because every time you see somebody meet Jesus, things change. Amen? And so God reveals his power through signs and wonders. You can write down in your notes Exodus 14. We're not going to take the time to look at these tonight. Verses 21 and 22. When God parted the Red Sea to deliver Israel from Egypt, we saw that mighty sign. In John chapter 11, verse 43 and 44, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. He has power over the grave. How many are thankful that Jesus has power over the grave tonight? One of the reasons that we can be happy tonight and thankful that my mom graduated to heaven is because I'm going to see her again. She just graduated to heaven, amen? So we talk about it all the time. She's where we want to be. Now I want to say this tonight, and I say this often, and I mean it, and God knows that I mean it. If you love this world more than you love heaven, you don't love Jesus. You got to get to a place where you stop loving this world. And this world doesn't mean anything to you. I'm ready to be with Jesus. Amen? Is anybody else in here ready to be with Jesus? Now, we don't get to choose when we go, but we get to choose to be ready when we go. And we have got to understand that this is not it. This is such a small part of our lives of eternity. And this is just a moment we do what we need to do to make eternity powerful. But we serve a God who has power over everything. He raised Lazarus from the grave. He all through the book of Acts, he did miracle after miracle. He proved through, as we have back here, signs, wonders, and miracles. Acts 2:22, I'll read this, says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. So the reason that God does miracles, just so you know, is to draw people to him. He doesn't just do it to make us feel better. He doesn't just do it to fix our kidney levels. He doesn't just do it to let our children live. He does it so his name will be glorified. And so if we'll glorify his name with our miracles, he'll do more miracles. Because he wants his name to be glorified. Signs and wonders draw people to salvation. The guy that led me to the Lord, he said something I'll never forget when I got saved. He said, you don't see people chasing ice trucks. People don't get excited when an ice truck goes by. But when a fire truck goes by, people get excited because they know there's a fire somewhere. For some reason, people are excited about fires. How many know spiritual fires excite people? If we're going to be the frozen chosen of Cortez tonight, then we're not going to excite anybody. Amen? But if we get on fire for God and we have an anointing to reach people and we're excited about the Lord and our face, if we go back to Sunday school and it tells us if you're happy and you know it, say amen. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then you're what? You're what? Y'all need to show me that your face is, know that you're happy tonight. If you're happy and you know, your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, and then whatever part of the song that is. Amen? We got to be able to have something that people want. Amen? I tell our church, don't look like you've been baptized in lemon juice. Amen? They're not going to want that. So signs and wonders draw people. They're instruments of evangelism and soul winning. They confirm the gospel. They testify to the gospel. They show that God's power is real. His word is real. You know, the prophecies in this book are amazing. I talk about prophecy a lot in our church. One third of the Bible is prophecy. I love to give this example. Many of you, I don't know if anybody has heard this, but I love to tell our church about it. You know, there's about 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled when he came to the earth. Just about his life, death, burial, and resurrection. 300 prophecies. Now, let me give you an example of what that means, because we sometimes take for granted how miraculous this Bible is that we hold in our hands. Let me give you an example. Tonight in Cortez, even in Cortez, right here, we said next week on Friday night, instead of tonight, 1 week from tonight, we're all going to meet up in Colorado Springs. And we're all going to meet at some restaurant. Let's say it's a Mexican restaurant. Anybody like Mexican food? We're all going to meet at some Mexican restaurant in Colorado Springs. I don't know of any good Mexican restaurants in Colorado Springs, but if there was one, I would tell you, right? But let's say we're going to meet at whatever it is, whatever your Mexican restaurant is. Imagine all of us trying to get to Colorado Springs 1 week from today at the same place at the same time. Do you think all of us could get there? Do you think that might be difficult? Think about that, just this group of people. Yet in the Bible, for example, Jesus was prophesied. We celebrated Palm Sunday a couple weeks ago. Did you know that when Jesus rode on that horse or that donkey, it wasn't a horse on purpose, when he rode in on that donkey on Palm Sunday, did you know that that happened to the day that it was prophesied 600 years earlier in the book of Micah, in the book of Jeremiah? That one prophecy. And so I love to give this example of how amazing that is, because have any of you ever been to Texas? Raise your hand if you've ever been to Texas. We know our guest has been to Texas, okay? How many have ever driven into Texas and thought, hey, I'm there? And then you realized you got a long ways to go until you get wherever you're going. When we first started the church in Denton, we had Pioneer Boot Camp, if you guys remember that. And people would come from the home church in Springs, and they'd get down through Trinidad, and they'd get down to Raton, and then they'd start going along New Mexico for an hour. And so 3 hours later, they're, welcome to Texas! And they got all excited and thought they had arrived. And then they looked at the GPS and realized, 8 hours to go. 8 more hours. Takes forever to drive across Texas, right? So if you drove from east to west, it would take you about 17 hours. If you drove from north to south, it'd take you similar to that, probably 15 hours. It's a gigantic state. But stay with me. Here's the amazing power of prophecy, why God is so amazing, why his word is so amazing, why this is so supernatural. If you were to try to take just 8 of those prophecies of the 300, the probability of that happening prophetically, like I just told you, would be like this. It's 13 with so many zeros that we don't even know that number. Okay, I'm not even going to try to say the number. But here's what it would be. If you took silver dollars and you put them all across the gigantic state of Texas, up to your knees, 2 feet high, that would be how many, that would be the probability. And then you take one silver dollar and you mark it with an X on the back and you throw that in the state of Texas, the odds of you finding that one silver dollar is the odds of 8 of Jesus' prophecies coming to pass. And he fulfilled 300. I need you to understand that this is not a Bible story tonight. This is God's word, and it's real, and it's powerful, and it changes lives. And God has kairos moments for us. He wants us to understand that the Bible tells us he's the same yesterday as he is today, and he will be forever. Does anybody believe that tonight? So if he did miracles to part the Red Sea and he raised Lazarus, he can do miracles today and he'll continue. But listen to this. God responds to faith. God responds to faith. Not up here, but in here. People miss the gospel so many times by a foot from here to here. Amen? Somebody in this place tonight, God wants you to realize who he is here, not up here. Amen? Matthew 9:29, Jesus says, it's going to be done according to your faith. According to your faith, be it unto you, the Bible says. The gospel needs to be demonstrated in power, not in words. My words tonight are nothing. The more I preach the gospel, the less I think about my words, and the more I realize God needs to show up and touch somebody's life tonight. If there's somebody sick in this place, God can heal you. If you're in this place tonight and your marriage needs restoration, God can do it. If you're in this place and you need to fall in love with Jesus again, tonight's the night you fall in love with Jesus again. Amen? If you're here tonight and you don't know who he is, tonight's the night you can know him. Amen? So let me finish with some thoughts here. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, if you'll go with me, chapter 2. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this needs to be our focus this weekend. We need to trust God for miracles. We need to believe God for signs and wonders. I want you to understand something. Pastor Bland may not feel this way, but I think he probably will. All the revivals that we've done all these years, I've realized that a revival is more for our church people than it is to get people saved. It does something for our church. We get people saved in outreaches. It doesn't mean someone can't come in and get saved. But the revivals, when your pastor comes to our church, which we love to have him come, I try to have him come every year, we have built our church by doing revivals and getting people to conference. That's how we've built our church. And those revivals shape us. Those revivals get us back on track many times. Those revivals, sometimes an evangelist, because tonight I'm not a pastor, I'm an evangelist. Tonight an evangelist can come in, and I can say all the same things your pastor tells you all the time. But all of a sudden, you're going to go, wow, I've never heard that before. And you have. Because trust me, Pastor Bland's been preaching a lot longer than I have. But there's something about an evangelist coming in. But here's what the difference is. I don't know your lives every single day. God's going to speak things through me that only God knows and only you know. And it's going to be supernatural. And you're going to say, how did he know that? Is he speaking to me? And yes, God is speaking to you tonight. Amen. And God wants to do something supernatural. We don't just want to go through the motions and leave Sunday and go, hey, we had a revival. We want something to happen in this revival. Something's going to come out of this revival. Do you believe that at least one person in this revival could have a Kairos moment like I did and their lives could be changed and transformed forever and that that one person at least could change other people's lives just from this revival? I do. I believe it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I believe God's going to raise up some people this weekend. He's going to call some people into the ministry this weekend. He's going to change some circumstances this weekend. Why? Because we have a God who changes things. God loves us just like we are, but he doesn't leave us that way. Is anybody thankful for that tonight? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 says, Paul says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration, listen to this, of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen? We need miracles today, church. We need a demonstration of the power of God. We need lives to be changed. Our church is like 17 years old already. It's been a long time. It's not a new church. This is not a new church. We need these challenges to remind us that sometimes when we get into what every one of us get into, which is a rut, we're all guilty of that. We can all be sucked into that. And thank God you're here. But we can get into that place where just kind of, sometimes we're just, I'm here, Lord. Let that be enough. But that's not what God wants. God wants everything from us. He wants our best. And I want you to know that if you're here tonight and you've lost hope of your situation, there's still hope. Amen? I need to hear that many times in my own life, in situations that I'm going through. I need somebody else to tell me and remind me, hey, there's hope for your situation. Amen? How many believe that tonight, that there's hope? So here's something we really need to realize, though. I'm just going to bring it back around. As believers, we need to seek God, not just his signs. You know, many people missed Jesus in the New Testament when he came because all they wanted was a miracle, but they didn't want a Savior. They wanted some food, but they didn't want a Lord. They wanted to change, but they didn't want to change everything. And so we need to get to a place in our lives where we're at total surrender. When you get to a place of total surrender, it's scary, but it's the best place to be. Where you just literally live your life saying, God, as Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. Amen? And I believe many of you in here tonight have been in that place, but some of you need that to be renewed tonight. Some of you need to say, Lord, I've been allowing life and situations and things going on in my life to get me to a place of complacency or going through the motions. Tonight, I'm going to come to this altar, and I'm going to tell you, Lord, that I am ready to start fresh tonight with a new beginning. Isn't it awesome to know that God is a God of new beginnings? He actually said in his word that his mercies are new once a month. Not once a month? When is it? Every morning. That doesn't mean you wake up every morning and sin and do whatever you want and then ask them to forgive you. It means when you mess up or when you, not even when you sin, but when you've gotten to a place of complacency in your walk, you can say, Lord, I'm ready to fall back in love with you. And you, if you've taken 100 steps away, you can take one step back and be right back with God where he wants you to be. So listen to this as I begin to close. Don't chase miracles. Chase the miracle worker. Him. You know, that's what he wants. He doesn't want to just give the miracle. He wants to be chased for who he is. Signs confirm the word. They don't replace the word. Today we're seeing that in a lot in churches. Where signs are trying to replace the word. It doesn't replace the word. It confirms the word. I mean, I'm going to say this tonight. There's way too many voices today. There's a lot of good stuff about social media, but there's a lot more bad. I've been preaching on that for a while now at our church about social media and the dangers of it and AI and all these things that are coming. And the truth is, church, there's way too many voices. We have so many people that leave the church or get in trouble or do dumb things because they're listening to some pastor on a YouTube channel they've never met. You got to be careful to the voices that you listen to. That pastor on that YouTube channel that has 1 million followers is not going to come to your funeral. He's not going to visit you in the hospital. He's not going to give you counsel that you need to hear. He's not going to visit you he's not going to go knock on your door when you've been missing from church. So there's a lot of voices today, and there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world in the name of God that's not God. So we need to walk in holiness and obedience to carry God's power. And this is probably the most important of all of them. We need to stay humble and give God the glory. I mean, if we'll humble ourselves and give him the glory, he'll do some amazing things in our lives. Amen? Now, tonight, I want to start this revival off by letting God show himself to be who he is. I want him to show his power. Amen? So I want to go back to Isaiah 55 to close tonight. And I want to look at some verses that I didn't read, but I'm going to read 6 again, and I want to finish in 11. Give me an amen when you get back to Isaiah. It's verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. I don't ever say this. Your pastor never says this. We don't ever say this to scare people. The reality is tomorrow's not promised to you. It's never promised. We need to call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Listen to this closely. Let him return to the Lord. I'm telling you, some of you here tonight need to return to the Lord. When we do a revival, me and Pastor Bland haven't been talking all week. Hey, preach this. Hey, preach that. Hey, say this. Hey, say that. We don't talk at all. We listen to the Holy Spirit. I can tell you tonight, there's some people here that need to return to the Lord. You need to come, and you may be here physically present, but you're not where God wants you to be. You need to return to the Lord. Amen? And it says, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, we read this already. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So in other words, I need you to understand tonight that God is not going to fix your situation the way you think he's going to fix it. It's not going to happen the way you want it to happen. You need to let go. How many know the story of the monkey, how they catch monkeys? They put the peanut or the food or whatever inside of a hole. That monkey sticks his hand in and gets it, clenches his fist. Then he can't get out because he will not let go. He dies. They come and trap him and kill him because he won't let go. Even though they're going to come kill him, he won't let go. Some of you need to let go tonight of the way you think God is going to fix your situation. And you need to trust God. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Does anybody agree here tonight in your life? And you've seen now, you don't always see it, but you've looked at certain things that God has done. And you look back and you go, that was not in any way, shape, or form how I thought God was going to do it. It's not if he'll do it, it's how he's going to do it. And that's the faith that you need to have tonight. That's what I'm coming to challenge you to believe tonight. Maybe you're here and you said, I've prayed 1,000 times for my husband, for my wife, for my kids, for my neighbor, for this healing. 1,001 is the one you need to do tonight. Never give up on God. Amen? He says, my thoughts are not your ways. Your ways, my ways are higher than yours. And then finishing, it says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Listen, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It, and you've heard this verse before, it will not return to me void. God's word will fulfill what he says he's going to do. And it finishes by saying, I will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper for the thing which I have sent it. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. God, I thank you for the privilege and the honor to be in this great church tonight with these precious people. And Lord, I thank you tonight that there is an understanding that you want to do things bigger than we can even imagine. You want to do miracles. You want to do signs. You want to do wonders. You want to, and the greatest wonder we can have tonight, Lord, is first and foremost us coming back to our first love, falling in love with you again, or Lord, tonight, some falling in love with you for the first time. Lord, as we come to this place tonight and we come to the end of this message, now's where you begin to do the work, Holy Spirit. Now's where you begin to deal with hearts and minds and lives. And Lord, we're not just talking about the older people or the younger people. We're talking about everybody. Lord, tonight this could be a Kairos moment for somebody that they will look back on. As I just mentioned some of mine tonight, that if I wasn't at that place and I wasn't at that time, and I wasn't obedient to your word, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I wouldn't have seen what you've done in my life today. Satan, I bind you tonight in the name of Jesus. You have no power and you have no authority in this place. You are under our feet, the Bible says. And greater is he that is in us than the devil that's in this world. And Lord, I pray right now from the front to the back, from side to side in this place, that lives are going to be changed. And miracles are going to take place. And Lord, your name is going to be glorified in this place. God, you are everything to us. You are everything to me. Lord, as we sang that song earlier, you are the air I breathe. Lord, there is without you, I have no breath, God. Lord, get us to the place of desperation in this place tonight where we realize, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do anything, God. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight in this place and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, how many right now, honest hearts, maybe you're a young person, maybe you're an older person, you're here and you're not sure if your life is right with God tonight. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, it's appointed unto man once to die and then comes judgment. Church, every single one of us are going to stand before a holy God. I've been preaching that and believing that more than I ever have in my life. You can fool your spouse tonight. You can fool your family. But you cannot fool God. He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your motives. He knows who you are. And even if you're in a place tonight where you're not a good person, you're not in right standing, God is so merciful that the Bible says He'll forgive you if you'll be just confess your sin. He's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Tonight, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many in this place, honest hearts, could say, Pastor, would you pray with me tonight because I want to make sure that my name is in the book of life. I want to make sure that I am forgiven. I want to make sure that my sins are washed away. The Bible says very clearly in the scriptures that we are all sinners. All fall short of the glory of God. None of you in here tonight are going to get to heaven because your grandparents go to church. None of you are going to get to heaven tonight because your parents go to church. You're going to stand before a holy God one day by yourself, and you have to give an account to Him for your life. And the Bible says Jesus came to wipe all the sins away, and He took it on that cross. He suffered on that cross for us, and He gave His life so that we could be saved. Tonight, how many would be honest and say, Pastor, I want to be saved tonight. I'm talking to someone who's never done that before. You've never made a public confession that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior and I want to be born again tonight. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want you to put your hand up and say, pray for me tonight. I want Jesus to come into my life. Just lift it up and put it back down all over this place. Young people, older people, whoever you are, you're not ready. You don't know. If you stood before a holy God, what would you say to Him tonight? I will say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I know I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by Jesus' grace. How many? I'm just going to wait a moment more. Are you ready? Will you stand before God and know that you're right with God? Not because of anything you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. Now here tonight, I'm going to ask a second call. Maybe you're here and you know the Lord. You've been baptized. You go to church. You're a giver. You pray. But if you're being honest with God tonight, your heart is not where it needs to be. The Bible calls you a backslider. The Bible calls you, as Hebrews says, you're drifting away. Tonight, if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come in front of everybody. But if that's you tonight, would you let the Lord know, Lord, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to get back to my first love. I'm ready to fall in love with you again, as Revelation says. I'm ready to get back to where I was when I first met you, Lord. I'm gonna let the fire of the Holy Spirit touch my life tonight. If that's you, when we open up these altars in a moment, would you come with a humble heart and say, Lord, change me tonight. Transform me tonight. Put me back where I need to be. And